Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody here at the beginning of the year. We know others are still traveling and doing things, so it's just good to see you this morning. You know, I was reminded this morning one more time, it's the beginning of the year. I think we need to do this, and I'm going to ask our guests to join us. Man, we're going to do this until we know that we have honored God with the gift that He gave us in this building. And this morning when I got up early like I always do on Sunday morning. And I went into my prayer room, and I'm in there for about an hour, hour and a half, and I walked out to make a cup of coffee, and I looked at that clock on the coffee maker, and it said 7:29. Normally, I'm moving equipment down the hall at the theater, and I'm making coffee. You want to stand up, and let's just give God praise and worship for the fact that He gave us this building. Father, we just worship You, and we glorify You today. As we begin the year, as we end the year, we give You praise, and we give You honor, and we thank You for the gift of this building. No man can take credit for this. This was a gift from You, and You proved You are a faithful, faithful God. And we give You praise and honor and glory today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. You know, the phrase tip of the iceberg refers to the fact that you're only seeing a very small, small portion of the whole. That is true with the word and the promises that God gave Rochelle and I on November the 19th that we outlined here last Sunday as we sat up here together on the platform and shared with you what the promises are. We're going to continue to go through those over the next six sermons that I'm going to bring. So if you didn't see that last week, you didn't see it online, you didn't catch it here live, then I encourage you to go to our website, listen to the audio, or go to Facebook and you can watch and see what we shared as we outline the fullness of what God has promised us. That's why our video is all about let's go. This is our new season. God promised us last year that He was transitioning us into a fresh new season. Would have never thought it happened during COVID, right? And God is doing that. Now we're in 2021. We're in that fresh new season. Part of that word was about the tip of the iceberg. It's no more true than it is about those words, because God said that the building, the miracle of the building, was the tip of the iceberg of what God is going to do here at North Elevation Church and in your lives. It's just the tip of the iceberg, the miracle of this building. It's just the tip of the iceberg. In this expositional sermon series that I'm going to bring, we're going to uncover what we need to know concerning the promises from God. We're also going to uncover what we need to know on a personal level from the promises of God. Let's remember what we shared with you last week. The promises were not just for the church. They are for you individually. And so we're going to look at all of that in the sermon series. It's a six-part series. There will be a couple of interruptions along the way where someone else will be speaking. But we will cover the six parts to this sermon series called Tip of the Iceberg. Now, the reality is that it's estimated that we only see 10% of an iceberg. That's all the human eye can see of the whole. Now, in John chapter 21, verse 25. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. In Scripture, you see the tip of the iceberg of all that Jesus did. If you have a spiritual eye, you know that if He healed one person, He did that hundreds of times that are not recorded. If He set someone free from a demonic spirit, then He did that hundreds of times that are not recorded. You have to see that with the spirit's eye. It's estimated that an iceberg, you only see 10% of it. The human eye cannot see the core of the entire iceberg. So, with that said, that leads us to a need in the community of faith. And when I say the community of faith, I'm talking about the church as a whole. There is a need for the community of faith to begin to see things from the Spirit, to have spiritual eyes to see what is not seen. I'll say that again. The community of faith has got to have spiritual eyes and start seeing what is not seen. We're way too moved by what we see and what we hear versus what God is saying. We've got to start having spiritual eyes. There is a need for that. Now, today's message is all about we must embrace the promises. And that's what we're going to look at, embracing the promises. Part of embracing the promises is we've got to start seeing what is not here yet. That's as real as what you see when you walk out of here. Some of you will walk out of here and you go see a steak. I would walk out of here to see a steak and saw a church sitting on the table. Can you see what God has promised? We've got to start having spiritual eyes. We must embrace the promises. This new building, God is faithful to his promises, but there was a part with me, with Rochelle, and with all of us that we had to embrace the promise that God said, I'm going to give you a building. I'm going to give you a building in such a way, the dream that Esteban Blanco had, who doesn't even come here, in the dream, I got up and said, look around. This is a gift from God. No man can take credit for this. You know the story of how we got the building. No man can take credit for what happened. It's a gift from God. But it was 10 years of what? Embracing the promise. Actually, for me, it goes all the way back to 1984. The dream I had when I was a baby Christian, a couple of months old, I had a dream of this building. When I walked in, I saw the dream. Think about that. Embracing a promise that I never forgot and kept writing down. You, many of you, started embracing the promise from the day we launched this church 10 years ago. Some of you, as you came in, you began to embrace the promise. We are here today because we embraced the promise of God and we chose to see it before we had it. That is huge. Did some give up? Yes. But you didn't. And you're living in it. We have to embrace the promises. We have to see what doesn't exist. I used to drive down this road all the time. It's a cut through. Our offices used to be across the street. We had church in the center mark, but we were across the street. It was our offices. Drive up and down this road. 5 years ago, I drove by this building, had never noticed it, saw the building. And I stopped, and it pulled up to the gate. And I said, God, this would make a great church. So I started trying to figure out who had this building. I never could find it out. I talked to everybody I knew in the city, all my connections. They couldn't figure it out. It was all messed up on the tax rolls. It was all kinds of stuff. It's like everywhere I went, I ran into a roadblock. Couldn't find out anything about this building. Then one day I drove by a couple of years later, and there was a church sign. And I pulled up and pouted. I said, God, I've been trying to find out about this building for almost 2 years. It's not the greatest place, I wouldn't, you know, some people would think, but I think that'd make a great church building. Now there's a church in it. I said, why didn't you think of us? So I just kept hanging on to the promise. And every time I would come by this building, I said, God, you know, that building, a building just like that would be just fine. I said, you can do anything. Building's just a tool. The church is us. I'm going to cross something in a minute that's going to make sense to all of you about the 3 years after when I pulled up out there and said, God, why didn't you give us this building? How did they find out who owned it? Let me list very quickly the things we need to embrace that we're going to start looking at. God promised to us that this was just the tip of the iceberg of the things he was going to do. He said that there would be series after series after series after series. And it was, he said it one more time, after series, that we would see miracles. The miracles would become so commonplace that people would begin to laugh in a good way because they're happening so often. Said that there would be miracles of healing and finances. There would be people running in telling us, I got a job, I got a raise, I got a home, my cousin was delivered from AIDS, etc., etc. The word went on to say that we were moving into not a miracle moment, but a miracle season. And the seasons of God, can last a long time. The promise went on to say that God was going to use us. We will be a pivotal place in which God would use us to bring families back in to fellowship with him. Those were promises. Now, think about just the family part. That's a promise here, but that's a promise to you that God's going to bring your families back in to fellowship with God. Are you with me? God said that people in here are going to last so much because I got a job. It also means that your families that you're praying for, people you know, friends, miracles are going to just start to happen to where you'll come in here running and going, I prayed the promise over my family and everybody got a raise. Wouldn't that be cool? Now I can get a bigger Christmas present, finally. He was talking about motives. Remember, when God makes a promise to his church, you're the church. He's going to do some amazing things at North Elevation Church, but he's going to do those same amazing things in your personal life, away from here. We have to embrace the promises. The word embrace means a close encircling with the arms. It means to clasp, cleave to, draw to oneself. This is where I'm driving to this morning. Are you embracing the promises? Are you drawing them so close that you see that more than you see anything else? I would drive by this building, go to the office, break out our drawings. We had some beautiful drawings of a building. And I would just dream and embrace the promise. Instead of getting discouraged and down in the waiting, I'd run straight to the office and pull out the drawings and go, I'm not going to let that get me down. God promises a building. I'm going to embrace the promise. You have to embrace the promise. Here's something else that we need to embrace. Truth number one today, and for our guests, those are things that I have learned in my walk and revelations God's given me. We have to learn to see beyond where we are to where we will be in the middle of God's promise. We've got to move beyond where I'm at. Even if you're in the middle of what you call a failure of seasons, you have to move beyond that and get your hands on the promises that God has given you. You've got to move beyond. You've got to see past where you're at and start seeing where you will be and accept that's your future and hang on to that promise. Accept that. We're going to look at some keys to embracing the promises. Number one, vision. See your promises, and any sees promises, long before they get here. I'm already envisioning one of the promises was, in that word, was that people who could not have children would conceive. That God would use us to lay hands on people, to speak over people, and they would conceive. I'm already envisioning that our nursery is too small. Our nursery worker back here. It's too small. That's what would happen. Also, the promise said that creativity would begin to be birthed in people who felt like creativity had died and that they no longer had a purpose. And God's going to begin to stir that up again. And they would begin to step out and new ministries would be birthed. I see it bigger than that. I see new companies starting. I see people stepping out and walking in doors and asking for jobs and getting them. Because God's put something in them, and now they're alive with the creativity, and they walk in the door and say, look, you need me, and let me tell you why. Because something birthed in them. That was a promise from God. I see that happening in here, but I see it happening outside of here. Can you embrace the promise? Can you get a hold of the promises? Can you begin to see them larger than where we're at? We're still in COVID. I still see the seats full. Got to embrace the promise. One of the promises was that people would begin to run here and that we wouldn't have enough chairs. Can you embrace the promise? I'm going to embrace the promise. Where you see empty seats, I see people. Got to embrace the promise. You got to see with spiritual eyes. What has God promised you? Habakkuk 2:2-3. The most important verse of Scripture concerning vision and something you've got to start doing. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Did you know we're in this building? Exactly when God needed us to be in this building. We learned a lot of stuff. We're still having to do some things here that being portable served us well because things don't bother us. It's just how we roll, man. We just get it done. God prepared us to be in this warehouse. The key here is write it down. I'm still amazed that when I have people talk to me about their visions and they're in a time of what I call disruption, of getting distracted and away from it and down and thinking their visions aren't coming to pass, I'll ask them one simple question. Can you show me your vision? Have you written it down? And they look at me with a blank look. They've never written it down. And I said, well, you have nothing to run with. You're trying to remember it, and it gets stolen from you. You have nothing to run to. Are you with me? To run with it, because the enemy's going to constantly try to steal from you. But if you can run to it and look at it and go, no, devil, this is what God said. It's written down. This journal right here is just one. You know, I'm a journaler. All the promises, all my prayers, all my thankfulness is written down in journals. Walk in my office, there's a bunch of them in there. They're at my home office. Those were the things I was talking to God about when I got the phone call for this building. I was reminding him. I could see everything in all the books, all the times we fasted and prayed. I could see the promises. On January 11th, we're going to go on a 21-day fast here. I'm going to give you the primary reason we're going to go on this fast is to draw closer to the Holy Spirit and hear the voice of God and see what the Holy Spirit wants us to see. The visions are written down. The dream in 84 is written down. And I just transferred it from as I went along, and it stayed the same. The problem is you don't write it down. The enemy can come in and begin to rob from you. Oh, you didn't hear that part. It was only this piece of what the promise was. And rob the main part of the promise. We've got to get to where we write things down. This verse of Scripture is not here for something that we just think that's cool, that's great for some people. No, this verse is here because God wants his church to start writing down what he's telling you. So you can run with it. Write the vision down. Write it down. Can I say it again? Write it down. If you haven't written it down, spend this week. I encourage you to take this week and just start remembering. Holy Spirit, bring it back to my remembrance, those promises, and you just start writing them down. Write the vision down. One of the other ways I used to write the vision down, we have a lot of technology now. I used to take my tape recorder, put my tape in, and I would start out loud speaking the promises. in my tape recorder. Then I take it out, and while I was on the road, I'd put my tape recorder on and hear myself claiming the promises. It's not enough just to write it down. You need to say it out loud regularly. Every time you think about it, if it comes to your mind, the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind. When I open up my journals, I don't just sit there and go. I start talking the promises out loud so I can hear them. And at the same time, letting the devil know I still believe. And that's what I used to do back in the day with cassette tapes. A couple of times somebody got in my car and my tape was going, they go, what's that? That's my promises. Turn it off. They didn't want to hear that. How bad do you want what God has promised? It's important. We have to ask ourselves that question. Number two, trust. Trust what God said he'll do for you and NEC. Too many Christians melt under the waiting. It's in the waiting. We have a song we sing, it's in the waiting. We all love that song. Y'all get pretty excited while you're singing it. But are you really thinking about what it's saying? It's in the waiting. In the waiting, God was preparing everything for us. In the waiting, God was getting everything lined up. And right at the end of last year, I saw the dominoes start falling. And God said, I've been preparing everything. I'm getting everything lined up. And then I saw dominoes fall and I heard them. 5 days later, a prophet comes to us and says, I saw dominoes falling. God's getting everything ready. He's getting it all prepared. And that's exactly what happened. It's in the waiting. God's getting everything prepared and everything lined up. If you're embracing, I'm going to say this, if you're still embracing the promise. If you've let go of the promise and let go of it and you've walked away from it, you need to embrace the promise. God is still preparing. He's still getting things lined up. And he's ready for the dominoes to start falling in your life. Reconnect with the promise that God has given you. Our core verse in 2020, and still is this year, is Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. It's our own understanding that robs us from the promises. Can't lean on our own understanding. We can't look at what's happened out here. Yeah, it's real. There's been a lot of things happen. Your lives, our family this year, your family this year. But we refuse to let go of the promises. Was it hard at times? Very difficult. But you can't let go. You have to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Number three, confidence. Be secure. The word secure also means locked. Be locked in to what God has promised you. That takes us back to embrace. You've got to embrace it and don't let go of it. I've let go of some stuff and had to re-embrace it. I've been there. I know that my Father, when I re-embraced it, began to do a quick work. Because he's a faithful God. Embrace. Lock into the promise. It's one thing to know what God has said the promise is. It's another thing to believe what God said. And part of that process of believing is I refuse to let go. I refuse to let go. Number four, hunger. I'm going to talk about hunger in a different way. Making sacrifices to see the promise become a reality. Sacrifice is not a word we like to hear. But let me talk about a very special type of sacrifice. That's truth number two. Being hungry means you make a beeline for your prayer closet with your Bible and your journal. and your Bible, I do not enter my prayer closet here or at home without my journal and without my weapon. And I embrace what God has promised. I am still waiting on promises now that are over 30 years old. But I believe God is preparing. God is getting things lined up. God is faithful. Though it seems it tarries, it will happen. And I will hear the dominoes fall. And when it comes to pass, guess what? It will be right when it was supposed to come to pass. Even though I spent 20 years going, God, I guess you missed it. No, God hasn't missed anything. I'm going to hang on. What about you? Are you going to be hungry enough to get in your prayer closets and fight for the promises? And remind God. He loves to be reminded. He does. You ought to be in my prayer room and say, oh, my deal, not going to look. Look. The whole church fasted for 40 days. Well, not the whole. We fasted. And we prayed. And all that happened was is the theater took away half our seats. Come on, God. I mean, come on. We went from ready to go to more services, and they took away our seats and then said, we can't go to two services. I said, come on, God, we fasted 40 days. What happened? God was preparing this place. Are you with me? We can't be moved by what we what? See. We must believe that our fasting and our praying is changing things to bring those promises to pass. Got to be hungry. Another thing that running to your prayer closet with your journal, with your promises is, it's an awesome time to have some shut up devil time, okay? It's really fun. I have a lot of fun when I go, devil, it is written in my handwriting, but it's written. Because that's what God said. And here's the verse to go with it. So that is written by him. So you're getting a double whammy here against you, because not only did I write the promise down, not only am I going to hang on to it, but I got scripture backing it up. I bet you feel like you're on cloud nine when you walk out after doing that. No, sometimes I walk out of the room and I'm going, I'm tired. But my God is faithful. My God is faithful. Number five, resolve. Let the promises overtake what you are going through. Let the promises overtake what you're going through. I'm going to say it again. Let the promises overtake what you're going through. And sometimes that is incredibly difficult, but it's always possible with God. I have four declarations I'm going to unpack now that I'm going to encourage you to make a part of your life. Number one, I will not lose heart. Number two, I will not give up. Number three, I will not back down. And number four, I will not throw in the towel. Now, church, guest, like I said before, I hate to leave our guests out of things. I never have understood that. Don't have to ask guests stand up. Why? They miss out. Everybody stand up. It's time that we make our declaration. This is our first service of the new year. We have moved into our fresh new season. God's moving you into a fresh new season, even our guests, into a fresh new season of his promises coming to pass. And we need to make our declaration today. And I'm not going to do it on three. I don't know why everybody does it on three. We're going to do it on two. So on two. So the tech folks need to get ready. I'll put these things back up. On two, We're going to declare these together. And here's the key to the whole thing. Don't just say it. Let it resonate deep within you. This is who you're going to be. One, two, I will not lose heart. Oh, come on now. Number one, I will not lose heart. Number two, I will not give up. Number three, I will not back down. Number four, I will not throw in the towel. Praise God. You may be seated. I'm going to wait for you to get home and think about whether you're going to do that. We're going to do it. I'm hungry. What about you? I'm hungry. What's 2021 hold for us? Everything, right? You know, I'm not looking at all this other stuff. I'm looking at the promises. Because if I look at all this other stuff, I can say, well, that's, you know, the promises may never happen. Wrong way to think. Have to keep our eyes on the promises. Because there's always going to be things that happen. You have to exercise your faith. You have to exercise your faith. You've got to exercise your faith more than once a week. Exercise your faith. When we go on the 21-day fast starting on January the 11th through the 31st, we're going 21 days of fasting and prayer. This is my new journal for that. And for 21 days, this book will not leave me. It will go everywhere I go. Won't have one at the office and one in my prayer room at home. This will go with me everywhere I go. Why? Because I'm going to be listening and to hear from the Holy Spirit so I can write it down. And I'm going to write all the promises God has made us as a church. I'm going to rewrite down the promises God has made me that have not come to pass. And for 21 days, I'm going to spend that time drawing closer to the Holy Spirit to hear His voice, to see the promises fulfilled. And write down anything else He tells me and put all my prayers in here. You have to be hungry. You have to exercise your faith. That's how you exercise your faith. Because if you're writing down tomorrow, you see on the page across from it, yesterday. Oh, did I say that? Oh, my Lord. I need to pull over. I didn't end the day acting like that was true. Are you with me? Exercise your faith. You have to exercise your faith. Here's another thing you need to exercise. Start speaking where you can hear the promises. Say it out loud where you can hear it. I'm sure there's times when people drive by, pass by me. Y'all know me. I don't listen to the radio. I'm either listening to a book, I'm listening to scriptures, or I'm listening to worship. And there's other times that I'm just talking to God about some of the promises. I'm sure people walk by and say, he just talks to himself a lot. Rochelle says, I talk to myself a lot. Because I'm talking to God about stuff. It's not a morning conversation. It just gets started in the morning. Are we hungry? Are you hungry? Some of you have promises that are over 30 years old. Guess what? God's just waiting to tip the domino over. Re-embrace the promises. Embrace the promises. What has God promised you? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith and what? Not by sight. Church has really been challenged with that this year. It's calling those things that are not as though they are. I don't care how bad it looks. We had some scary moments in our family this past summer. And it got really bad. But we hung on to the promises. You have to move past what you see or you'll melt. You have to trust him. Well, Pastor, what if it had gone a different direction? I would still be hungry for the promises. This, I'm going to say it. I'm going to declare it. This is your year. This is your year. Truth number three, don't look at the difficulty of your circumstances. Look at the greatness of your God. He's a good God. Keep your eyes on the promises. Keep your eyes on the promises. Keep your eyes on the promises of God. Because there's one overriding truth. All things are possible with God. All things. Psalms 81:10. I am your only God, the living God. Wasn't I the one who broke the strongholds over you and raised you up out of bondage? Did you know it took faith to get saved? For some of us, it took a ton of faith. It took faith. And he was faithful, wasn't he? Open your mouth with a mighty decree. That's what I've been talking about. I will fulfill it now. You'll see. The words that you speak, so shall it be. Are you speaking the promises? Ask the question again. Are you speaking the promises? If not yet, today. This week. Pastor Robert Morris said something that is really profound in a lot of ways, because we forget. There's a war going on every day in your life. It's a spiritual war. And it might shock you to know that it's a war of words. Satan's words versus God's word. Satan's words against what God has promised you. It's a war. You know me. I am huge on having a regular rhythm and routine of a devotional life. I mean daily, sometimes twice a day. A regular rhythm and routine to your devotional life. With journaling. With scripture memorization. With reading the word. With writing down the promises. Taking seasons where all you do is you write down every little thing you can think of in your life that God's ever done for you. Because it overcomes what the devil's telling you God's not doing. It's a war of words. In conclusion this morning, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is believing that you already have what you're hoping for. It's pulling God's promises from the spirit realm into the physical realm. Question is, will we receive his promises? I choose to receive the promises that you and I and this community of faith and you individually are going to walk into this year a miracle season after season after season of healing miracles. You're going to see financial miracles. That's one of the things that was in it. We're going to see families miraculously brought back into what God intended for them to have in the beginning. We're going to see people conceive in the natural, children, but receive and conceive in the spiritual realm. Creativity that's going to change the world around them. We're going to see it. We're going to see it. Every time you think about this building, be reminded, this is the tip of the iceberg. There's a whole core underneath that's about to come up out of the water to the surface. Remember, one of the promises was that people would begin to laugh at the miracles in a good way because they're happening in such a supernatural way. God is so good. Those who believe that God is who he says he is, and that he'll do what he said he'll do, no matter what the circumstances around them look like, they will see it become a reality. We could have folded at any moment. And when I was in that 12th hour, which I've shared with you several times since we got in this building, all I was telling God was remind one moment, I'm saying, God, just help me end this well, because we have no, it looks like it's over. Just help me end this well and get everybody into churches. We represent 11 cities. I know pastors in 11 cities. I'll help try and get them locked in. And then it rose up in me and I said, no. And I started looking at all those journals sitting across from me at my desk at the office over here. I said, God, in there, you promised you'd give us a building. In a nanosecond, the phone rang. And we're in a building. We must hold to the promises. I wasn't giving up. I was asking God to help me in this well. But I'd spent too much time embracing the promises. It couldn't stay that long. Stay there very long, man. It popped right out, rose up and said, no. No. Shut up, devil. This isn't over. It's time to take a step forward. I'm going to ask for only the second time in this COVID season something. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. We're going to go over probably about 60 seconds. You good with that? 2 minutes? This is too important. We don't have a theater time anymore. I'd be stressed about now, thinking about all the work you're going to have to do after the service. You can social distance all around here, but if you feel like you need to take a step and put your foot down and say, shut up, devil. I'm going after the promises God has made me. I'm going to ask you to step out here in this altar, social distance. Please, as you can. You can go all the way over to the sides. We've got kneeling mats on the side. In this altar right now, God is going to do miracles. So if you're with your mate, just join hands and lift your other hands before the throne of God. And here's the key to this whole thing. You got to do this on your own. I can't do it for you. You've got to right now tell God this one very simple thing. Help me. Help me. And he will. Help me, God. And then decide to put your foot down. Make that declaration right now to put your foot down. And you're going to go after the promises. You're not going to fear. You're not going to stop believing. You're not going to stop praying. You're going to stand in faith for the promises. Now, just receive the promises. Just thank him for the promises. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him for what it is you've brought to him this morning. Let him know that you're grateful and you're thankful that you see it. You're giving him thanks long before it ever happens. It could happen before you leave this building. It could happen in an hour after you leave here. It might not happen for a week or two. It might not happen until the middle of the year. It does not matter. You refuse. You refuse. You refuse to let go of the promises. You refuse. You're going to embrace them. You're going to lock your arms around them. You're going to hold tight to the promises. There are things we don't understand have happened all around us with people and situations that are very real, but we cannot be moved by those things based on what God has promised us. They're very real, but the enemy would like to use it to distract you from having faith of the faithfulness of God. My overseer, Jeff Wickwire, said that he felt that distractions would be the greatest enemy. You know why? Because the enemy wants to distract you from your promises. Today, you're saying, I will not be distracted. I will not be distracted. I'm going to hang on to the promises. I'm not going to be moved by what I see. I'm going to be moved by the promises. That's what I'm going to see. And I'm going to see it before it happens. God is releasing miracles at this altar right now. Miracles, miracles, miracles are being released in this place right now. That song today, I didn't tell them to sing it. Miracles. Miracles are happening right now. Miracles. Father, we come to you today and we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your word of truth. And I thank you, Father God, that truly we've just experienced the tip of the iceberg. We're getting ready to experience the whole, the core of that iceberg. We receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we receive it. Now just thank him. Just begin to thank him. Give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. As we end, if you're a guest with us for the first time, I'm going to encourage you to get one of our gift bags. If you didn't get one, they got them in the back. Also, there's a very special gift in there. You don't want to miss that. And please fill out your connection card. I promise you, you're not going to get a bunch of phone calls or a bunch of emails, but you might get a personal note from me. So I just encourage you to do that before you leave today. The Connection Center is right behind the sound booth. Everybody, are you ready to receive your promise? Amen. You're dismissed.